Fabulous, Raph. I love it. That is the clip I was talking about. Look, crazier things have happened. And, you know, you got 18 games to go. Just make it interesting. San Diego with 66 losses. They've got a couple more with Arizona and a tough schedule. Milwaukee 67, the Giants 75. Make it close just for the last week so we can have fun the last week. So we'll see what happens. All right, time to bring in Adam Copeland. He is one of the stars of Tolbert and Copes, Monday through Friday, 2 to 6 at KNBR 680. Adam, how are you?
I'm good, Marty. It's funny you mentioned, and I love that clip from The Princess Bride. He's mostly dead. He's not completely dead. What's the bug they have? Is it bugs of unusual size? Rodents of unusual size? Whatever it is. Anyway, it's funny you're talking about making it interesting in the final week because I was thinking that same thing. I was like, what? Watching this series and watching the Dodgers come in and they're 30 games up and there's just not a lot of juice in this series for the Giants and you're thinking, what can they do at the end of the year to make it fun? I know you're talking about having a good end in the final 18 games, make it interesting, go on a little bit of a run. The other dream scenario would be if the Giants aren't going to get in that final couple of games, the three games they have to go to San Diego and play October 3rd, 4th, and 5th, it would be really cool if the Giants aren't going to get in, that they have an opportunity to keep the Padres out and play legit. Spoiler, it's been a long time since we've seen that. I don't know if we'd have to go back to, like, 1982 with the Dodgers and Joe Morgan and all that, but that would be the other silver lining here, is that the Padres go all in at the deadline, they make all these big moves, the trades don't pay off, and the Giants keep them out in the final week of the season again. That would be pretty fun.
Hey, it could happen. And if you look at the San Diego schedule, there's all sorts of teams in there that are very competitive teams. And as I just talked to Bob Melvin about it, he doesn't really look at it because he can't. But it could get crazy. But you have to win games. And that's just – this ball club just hasn't won enough games. And they go into these losing streaks. Then all of a sudden you get Rodon, you get Webb, and you get Cobb. And, you know, things turn out. You win three or four in a row. It's sort of been – that's the story of the season. It's been that up and down. Winning streaks and losing streaks. That's the story of the year.
Yeah, and part of that, it sort of goes with the way the team is constructed, right? In that, if you have a team full of platoon players or a team full of guys who can bat anywhere in the lineup and just kind of help you out a little bit incrementally in different places, it doesn't give you somebody to carry a lineup when things go poorly, right? When things go bad, the Yankees went on a bit of a dip there, and Aaron Judge was still the only guy hitting baseballs. And now the Yankees are playing a little bit better, and Judge is still hitting. He was able to carry the lineup and keep them in games, even when they were on a losing streak. And you look at the Mets, they've got several guys who can do that as well. The Dodgers, it's like, their whole lineup is full of guys who can carry a lineup for a week if you needed them to when you go on a bit of a skid. So that's what we talked about, sort of reconstructing this roster and what you do in the offseason. It's why having everyday players can be important because, as you know, Marty, there's a rhythm to the game of baseball. And there's that feeling of momentum that only you know if you're watching the game or following the season. And you can see there's just that feeling. We've all seen it where you go, a guy made a great play in the field to end an inning. The momentum is on their side, but momentum in baseball is so delicate. It felt all season like the Giants never were able to grab the momentum that they had last year.
No, you know, you bring up a good point, and Bob Melvin and Dave Roberts talked about the set lineups, and they both really have set lineups. I'm just looking at the Phillies lineup, and there's a little maneuvering in that one at the end, but 1-6, you're going to get that all the time. So I think there's something to that. I asked Evan Wiebeck and Bill and Bruce, we kind of talked about it. I'll ask you the same question. You know, with the winter coming up, we all say free agents, the Giants have to do this and that. Give me a shocking development that could happen over this winter in your mind. What could happen this winter? You'll go, wow, that was something.
That's an interesting question. What could happen this winter for the Giants that would be a shock? I would say landing two top-end free agents that are position players would be a shock. I'd also put in the mix maybe moving somebody who's a huge prospect for the Giants that we thought was a big name coming in, that we thought was going to help them in the immediate future or in the next couple of years. Like, remember, like a Luis Matos or like a Marco Luciano. I think they'll hold on to those guys. But what if they went out and they decided, you know what, they're a little bit further away than we thought. We think we can get better right now. And maybe there's a team out there that's willing to give up on a player. To the caliber of a Brian Reynolds type guy who maybe it's not somebody who's an absolute superstar, but somebody you could plug in for the next 3 years, go sign a couple of free agents. And now all of a sudden you've got three players and now you're a little bit closer because you've got three everyday guys. So I'm thinking a couple of A-plus or B-plus free agents. And how about maybe a big trade with one of these prospects? It doesn't always have to be trade deadline. And when you've got the value there, maybe you get a little bit more out of him until he gets to the big leagues and you don't know what he's going to be in 3 years. So, yeah, how about that? How about they make a big trade for an established big leaguer, not necessarily a superstar, but a guy they can play every single day, and they use some of their draft or their prospect capital to go do that.
I love it. Yeah, that's kind of what I said. I said that Farhan's got to go Jerry DePoto, and he's got to take some chances. It's okay. Take some chances to try to make this thing happen. So we'll see. But look, they've got to still play good ball because they're mostly dead, not all dead. And that's the key to this thing. Brevia starts today, and I said this on the show. I said, what is he starting today for? You got Sean Gelly. Let the guy pitch here. You know, you're going to have to see if he can pitch in the big leagues. Give him a start. Let him warm up normally. Let him take the game. Why not just let him start today?
I'm with you. I'm not sure what playing the big picture analytic game or the opener game does for a game when you've got 18 left and you're 30 out. You want to make it interesting, but you also want to build some of these guys a little bit. That's why Elliot Ramos is here, right? That's why Sean Gelly's here. That's why Zupacki came back out. They're giving all these guys a look to see if they can be a part of this team for next year. So I'm with you. Give yourself a little bit more versatility. Let's see Sean Gelly start. Let's see him go through a bit of a struggle with this Dodger lineup and see how he reacts to it. Logan Webb came up last year, and since the start of 2021, he's been brilliant against the Dodgers. I know they lost last night, but he's been really, really good. This is a team you're going to have to see again 14 times next season or 12 times, whatever the schedule adjustment's going to be. So I would like to see, to your point, a lot of the younger guys playing and just give them a chance. Let them go out there for the next couple of weeks and see what they can do. Maybe they ignite a little fire, and maybe they show you something good for next year.
Yeah, I think Ramos should. He's up here, and they've worked with his swing. And no, he hasn't translated into success at Sacramento, but he is here. So don't just leave him here for 2 days for Urias and Heaney. Slater's coming back Tuesday, and well, goodbye, Ramos. I just don't think that's productive. I'd like to see a guy like that stay because at least he's got power. He's a right-handed hitter, and he is one of your guys. Give him a shot to do something. So that's one I'd like to see stay here.
I'm with you. We've seen what Austin Slater can do, right? We've seen what a lot of these other guys can do for not just this year, but for the last couple of years. Again, I'm with you. I'm not sure what, you know, winning one ball game would be great. Beating the Dodgers is always what you want to do, and it would be great today on Hunter Pence Day and all that. But I'm with you, Marty. I want to see a good chunk of guys for the next couple of weeks that we have not seen and give them an opportunity because that's what's going to help you for next season.
All right. It is Hunter Pence Day. Your thoughts on that? Well, what were your favorite Hunter Pence memories?
I had a conversation with him earlier this week for my the Inside Giant Moments podcast for the website. We talked for about a half hour about some of his favorite moments, and I went through some of my favorite moments. And it's cool because all his favorite moments aren't even things that he did. It's like, you know, being a part of sitting there on the dugout bench when Mike Morse comes up for a pinch hit and hearing Bochy tab Mike Morse and saying, I couldn't put you in a worse spot, could I, Mike? Because he's going into face Pat Neshek. You know, he'd been on the injured list for a couple of weeks and comes back and he goes, I couldn't put you in a worse spot, could I? So it's fun talking to him about some of those moments. For me, the ones that are really incredible, Pence at the fence was an absolute blast. The hitting the baseball three times in one swing is the most Hunter Pence thing I think anybody could imagine because he's an obscure player, and I always look at guys like him with funky swings like that and weird motions when they throw. Craig Counsell is a guy like that who had an absurd batting stance, and I always think a guy like Hunter Pence, everywhere he's been, I'm sure there's some old-school baseball guy or somebody who said, you're doing it wrong, you're swinging wrong, you got to try this, but the guy was just a ball player, the most unorthodox guy we've ever seen, and he was an all-star. He's one of the all-time great Giants, and I think back to trades that change a franchise history, that's one. The Hunter Pence trade forever changed the legacy of the San Francisco Giants, and they may not win in 12, they may not win in 14, and we may not have this great all-time San Francisco Giant. I just love when a guy doesn't start his career here, comes here, and then he is forever. And he said it to me earlier this week when we spoke. He said the Giants are a part of the fabric of his soul now. And it's interesting because he's not living in Philly. He's not living in Houston. He met his wife here. He's made his life here, and he's continuing his life in San Francisco. And I think as a Giants fan, that's a really cool thing that he's a part of our community.
Yeah, he's a very special man. He didn't do anything normal on a baseball field. Nothing. Throwing, hitting, running, anything. But he turned out, but he's one of those guys that can beat you. And as Dave Roberts said and Matt Williams said, in the clubhouse, the guy is fabulous. And I'm glad that we could acknowledge him. Very good. Very good.
Yeah,
you know, it's
yeah.
funny when you said that. I was thinking of the 10, 12, and 14 teams. And look, they had Posey, Bumgarner, Lincecum. There were guys who had developed, but they brought in a whole bunch of people to make those teams. And that's good general managership.
I mean, even the core four, right? You look at the core four relievers. Yeah, they brought up Wilson and they brought up Romo, but they had to go find Santiago Casilla, who had been in the bigs for a while. They went and they got Javier Lopez. It's funny you said that he's got to go Jerry DePoto, Farhan, this offseason. I thought, yeah, it could be Jerry DePoto, or you could go back to 96 and call it a Brian Sabian-like move where he comes in and he moves Matt Williams. Sometimes you got to give up some guys and take a couple of risks to get the pieces that are going to help your team. Because just because you've got a good player or a good prospect doesn't mean he's as valuable to you as another player on another team might be. So I'm with you. The Hunter Pence trade was big. The Giants are going to need a few of those to actually make a splash. You've got to take some risks, and that's what trading prospects is.
All right. Well, I'm looking for a five-game winning streak and 2 5-game losing streaks for the teams ahead. Then I'm heading to Las Vegas to hit the lottery, I'll tell you that. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. The Pujols story, the Adam Judge, the Judge story, all that kind of stuff, they're all good stories.
Oh, they're great stuff. I'm hoping Judge gets over 61. That would be really cool. Set the American League record, do it in Yankee Stadium, playing in the – I mean, obviously not the same outfield, but doing it in the pinstripes and playing it in the outfield the way Roger Maris and Babe Ruth did. That's just – it's a cool, really, really fun story. The Albert Pujols one is fantastic. And I saw a funny note today because what's he at, 698 now? Is that what he hit yesterday? Somebody said, you know, if he finishes the season and goes on a cold streak here and only gets to 699 before 700, he's got Mike Tauchman to thank for that. Just remember Tauchman took away a home run last year. So that would be a funny silver lining. But Pujols is an all-time great, man. I think he deserves it. I would love to see him get over 700. He's one of the best players I've ever seen in my life. If I think about the best right-handed hitters I've seen, I know people would say Mike Trout and all that, but from the time I was a kid, I would go Pujols, I would go Manny Ramirez, and I would go Miguel Cabrera as the three best righties that I've seen in my lifetime, and Pujols is probably at the top of that list. Manny was maybe, in my opinion, the most fun to watch hit because his eye was incredible. He could hit it up the middle, he could go the other way, but Pujols, from the time he came up, has been a staple in the bigs, and it's awesome to get to see him do it with the St. Louis Cardinals. So, I'm into it. I've been following it. And great note that I saw today is players to have 15 or more home runs or 25 or more home runs this year and also pitch are only, I think it's 15 homers. I think it's Albert Pujols and it's Shohei Ohtani are the only two guys to pitch this year and hit as many home runs as they have. So that's a funny wrinkle.
I love it. Well, I made Aaron Judge, Adam Judge, your cousin. So,
That's okay. I like a good name for him. That's good.
Come on. Yeah. He's got a shot at the Triple Crown, but we'll talk about this next week. We could have a good week of baseball. Let's hope for it. All right. I appreciate it. Thanks, Adam.
Always fun, Marty. Talk to you later.
Okay. That is Adam Copeland. All right. More coming up. Bill has got the talk back. I'll be back with you noon tomorrow. Now it's time for the week's Community Spotlight, sponsored by Chilton Auto Body, with 15 locations to serve you. This month's spotlight is on the San Francisco Foster Youth Fund.